Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, a wonderful approach. This is your host, Mama Seven, and we are working in the classroom. I was so excited about this program, about this topic, about the energy that is flowing, the shift that is shifting, all of that. I'm so excited about all of it that I didn't put the classroom. But this is where we are. It's Wednesday. We all know what happens on Wednesday. Wednesday, we go and we try to dig deep into understanding the lessons that we have right here in front of us. The lessons that we're trying to accomplish, the things that we're trying to learn, this is what we're doing. And y'all just have to work with me right now. Of course, if you know, if you've ever done a fast, you know, when you break your fast, there's a period of just absolute energy. Just, you know, makes you want to bounce off the walls. So that's where I am tonight. I'm going to try not to bounce too much, not to irritate anybody, but God has been good to me. And I know this every day. I know it. I already know it. But then there are days where it, like, really is in front of your face. And you can't help but to acknowledge the goodness that God has, right? So that's where I am today. And I'm so thankful to be at this point in my life, in this day, in this year, all of that. I've been thankful for the beautiful weather. I'm thankful for, you know, good health. I am thankful for good friends. I am thankful for angels. I am thankful, period. You know, my cup definitely ran over today. And I'm sharing with you a little bit how, what, why. And then you'll be like, okay, yeah, God trying to send you a message. God trying to talk to you. So it's going to be that kind of program tonight. You got to go a little old school in it. And so, I always love to tell the story about how this topic came up, how the title comes up, how all this comes up. So I'll do that. But I want to talk to you. I want to speak about last week. Last week we were in classroom. We were speaking about shrines, altars, and tables. And there was an energy moving in that program. We were all getting ready, getting pumped up. Saluting our shrines, acknowledging what they are. Hopefully, you know, everybody took a second to think about their own shrines, if they're paying enough attention to their shrines. Hopefully give some advice as to what and how they can do, you know, get some information about it. It was really an information-packed program. With a lot of spiritual energy coming off of it. You know, it was like spirit was like, yes, tell them how to set up their shrines so the shrines can get set up. And I'm like, okay, we got that. We could do that. And so we spent the whole program speaking about shrines set up properly, speaking about shrines not set up properly, speaking about shrines taken down correctly, speaking about them not taking down correctly, you know what I'm saying? And so we got an opportunity to get all that done, and it was absolutely wonderful. I want to take the time today to speak about reaching out to God. God, it's me, okay? So everyone knows we fast on Wednesdays. It can be very challenging, okay? Depending on your day, depending on what you're doing, you know, for me, it's a challenge keeping up with these whites. You know, I feel soon my whole closet is just going to turn white. Everything in there is just going to turn white, and I'll just be bleaching everything constantly. But, yeah, so we have on our white. If you wake up at enough time to fast, you wake up. But it always seems like there's a little challenge in the day on Wednesdays. It could be because you're hungry or hangry. It could just be that, you know, the devil stayed busy on Wednesday. It could be that God is trying to test your resolve, because it don't make sense to sit here, do all this work, be fasting, trying to be spiritually kept in your mind and your heart and your actions, and then you turn around and you cussing and fussing this one out. You know, you're being negative over there. No, no, and no. If you're going to have that negativity and be all grumpy because you're hungry, you're doing it wrong. I know, you know, we have devotions coming up April 2nd. And you know, I really try to educate people on the power of fasting, the necessity of fasting, you know, some of the physical benefits from fasting and everything. So I really try to educate people on this and the importance of doing it with the right spirit. So today was one of those right spirit days. It was one of those days where I was like, okay, I am a little tired. I am a little, you know, I got a lot going on in the positive, but still a lot. I'm working here. I'm working there. I'm really trying to put some things in place, right? And so I held a 12-step meeting today. And 12-step is a faith-based recovery, obtaining, maintaining program. And so afterward, I mean, I'm up here listening to some pretty hard stories, and I'm like, okay. With nothing on my stomach, I'm like, all right. And then at the very end, one of the gentlemen, you know, looked at me and said, do you mind if we pray? And goosebumps just started to, I was like, no, I don't mind at all. I said, a good word is always a good word. And so he said, okay, guys, like we've practiced, Our Father, and they go into the Lord's Prayer. And I'm saying, and I'm sitting here like, what? Like we practice? What? So we have 30 men standing up in unison saying the Lord's Prayer. And these great acoustics, you know, these walls used to irritate me, okay? Now, I'm sure tomorrow morning when I go in, those will still be some irritating walls. Complain about the concrete, complain about a natural environment, blah, blah, blah. Those walls became acoustic symphony halls, okay? And their voice echoed out all of the rest of the noise that was going on in this prison. Their voice echoed through the halls. A prayer, like they've practiced, okay? And it was beautiful. Was it beautiful because I've heard the Lord's Prayer? I've heard this prayer 1,000 times. I've said it. I probably have said it 2,000 times, but I know I've heard it more than 1,000 times. So I know this prayer, and I know this prayer well. It's a very strong, powerful prayer. But to get these men, you know, the cutthroats in my particular dorm, and for them to have to request this and to go forward in it, when I say it sent goosebumps through me, and at the end, amen. And I'm like, amen. And I didn't have a whole lot to say after that. Usually they want to talk and engage. No one really said anything. They left, I left, and I had to go outside. And when I went outside, still kind of vibrating off of this experience, I just had the pleasure of experiencing. I look up to the sun, and I'm like, God, it's me. You know, it was just such a humbling moment, you know. And I just had to check in with my higher being, my highest being, and just really be like, Creator, did you just see that? Did you see that? Did you hear that? I didn't put that together. They put that together. I've been trying to foster an environment for healing. I've been trying to foster an environment that they're going to feel encouraged, where they will feel safe, where they will feel all of these things. And like I said, I'm dealing with the cutthroats, okay? But for a moment, these were children of God. For a moment, there wasn't 30 individual men with heartache and hardship. For a moment, it was one voice being lifted up to glorify God. And I got to experience that. And I felt honored and humbled at that idea of just experiencing that with them. And I was like, okay, Lord, okay, God. I'm here. I'm hearing it. I see it. I understand. Thank you. Thank you for just allowing me to be in that moment, for that moment. And it was beautiful. Beautiful. So this is where we are. You know, I wanted to talk about reaching out to God. I wanted to talk about the need to reach out to God. How you reach out to God, some of the feelings that occur when you reach out to God. And so, you know, I just wanted to say, also, I would love to hear from those that have had those moments where you're like, only God will do. I need to talk to God for just a moment. Or those moments when you are, you know, crying out your heart, or just making those highly emotional pleads for God, and then he shows up. I would love to hear. That's this program. That's this program where we spend the time not just praising God, because we do that every week, okay? We are no stranger to building relationships with God. That's not it. But when it comes to having those personal experiences with him, it doesn't get more personal, more intense than when you are in a place where you're just reaching out, almost crying out for God, you know, and then he answers. So that's the program tonight. This is where this comes from. It comes from a very real moment, and I'm not the only one. I know there are others that have had these very real moments where, you know, they could almost feel God in the room, or in our idea of a room, right? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. It's an interesting program because I just did the whole program in all of 5 minutes. But yet I have to go and continue to tell you about the need. I need to tell you about how important it is to do it. I need to tell you about just all the thoughts, feelings, and emotions that come with it. So what I'm doing now is just to make sure we all get it, we all understand, we all know that we have to call for God. We have to dedicate ourselves to God. We have to be in that mode where we're looking and listening for experiences of God. So that's what we're going to be doing for the rest of the program, okay? And you're welcome to press one to join in, to share. If you've had one of those touching experiences where you just knew there was something going on, something more than usual, you know what I'm saying? Because God is with us and around us all the time. But the question is, are we aware, you know, is your ear cocked and listening to, you know, the goodness of God and where God is and everything like that? So, you know, this is what we have to work on, and this is what we're going to be speaking about. And it's so important, like I said, that we get in the habit of listening all the time. Now, why do we need to listen all the time? Because this happened at, let me see, it was about 3:20, okay? Now, 3:20 is when I am the absolute hungriest in the middle of this fast, okay? So because I have to go to work so early, I am already tied up with work. I'm already at work by 6:30, and that means I don't get to eat at the last second. Now, on a weekend, when I'm not, when my time is my time, and I eat when I want to eat in the morning, as long as I get there before the sun comes up. And the sun doesn't really come up until about, I see it when I'm driving in. So the sun gets up right about 7, you know. So on a weekend, I wake about 7. I wake to 6:55, slam something in my mouth, and then that's it, right? But on Wednesdays, I don't get that chance. I'm already at work. So I'm already in the middle of everything, and I have to, you know, maintain this fast. So right about 3:20, I'm starving, okay? I'm cranky. We don't have any coffee at my job, so I can't even drink some coffee to kind of settle myself. Or guys, like, oh no, you're gonna go all the way. You're no help, no assistance, no nothing. That's when I'm the hungriest, and probably I don't want to say the weakest, but I'll go ahead and say it. Seeing how I'm human, I'm allowed to be weak. So probably at my physical weakest point of the day, irritability is the highest at that moment. I'm like going through it. Okay, I did not wake up this morning intending to have a spiritual experience in a prison. I didn't. That's not what I agreed to. That's not what I was going to do. My whole, every Wednesday, my whole goal is surviving. I'm trying to survive the whole day. That's it, survival mode. And that was such a pleasant surprise. And it made me feel so good, one, that they listen, that they know good, positive things that are coming for them, that they, you know, they're paying attention. What I'm like, you know, keep your head up, stay encouraged. You know, God is the greatest. God will not leave you here, blah, blah, blah. They've been listening, okay? And then they went to take it a step for themselves. I was through. I was so incredibly happy to the point I had to go and collect myself. These things happen all the time, though. God gives us signs everywhere we turn. We just have to look for it. And even myself can get distracted and be like, oh, okay. I already made my prayers today. I'll have my spiritual experience on the radio or when I'm busy cleaning up my shrines or anything else like that. I don't have to be at work waiting for this. But I think God knew I needed a little help. God knew I needed a little help to get through the day because it was one of those days. And it always is when you're in a oppressive situation, right? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Reaching out to God, all right? I'd love to hear, what I want to do is I want to hear the stories. I want to hear the stories. I want to know how you did it, why you did it, where you were, blah, blah, blah. And while we're waiting on that, if there are any that come, I want to tell you how to go about doing this, all right? Now, you're going to be like, you know, Mama says we already know. You already know what you're going to say. You're going to say the P word. Prayer, and that would be correct. Prayer is so important. Prayer is how we talk to God. Very, very important. But what I'm talking about is more than just speaking to God. What I'm talking about is crying out for God, all right? So for those that have children or have been around children, or have been a child yourself in need. There's a cry, there's a sound that every child can make that's going to naturally alert its mother that something's wrong. And not just you know, oh, I scrubbed my toe. I'm hurting. No, not that foul. Not the, you know, I'm mad, so I'm going to, no. The sound, you know, that cry that you hear in the middle of the night, excuse me, that you hear in the middle of the night, that cry. That cry when, you know, the baby is just, you know, fussing and whining. You first, you'll cock your ear a little bit and be like, okay, okay. But then they'll let out a wail. And no matter how tired you are, you're going to jump up and address exactly what that problem is. Because your ears have been positioned to listen. We've been positioned to listen. We're supposed to listen. And just like we do this for our children, God does this for us. Okay? God is listening. We are his children, right? God is listening for our cry. Now, not the cry, you're frustrated, you're late for work, and you're in the car. Not that cry. You know, not the cry, you know, when, I don't know, whatever light that would make you cry. You just had an emotional day. The emotions are high. And not that cry. It's the cry that you cry when your heart is broken to the point you don't even recognize it, that cry. You know, the cry when it seems like bad news after bad news after bad news, and you didn't know that you had any more space, but yet there's still some more bad news, that cry. You know, the cry of a parent losing their child, that cry, you know. There are certain cries and sounds that God is listening for. And you make this sound involuntarily, really. And God is right there to save you, to pick you up, to brush you off. He may send an angel. He may send an earth angel. He may send a wonderful approach angel. I don't know what God's going to send, but he's going to send your help right there to you. Because he heard you. And I really need people to understand that, you know, the God that we serve is a living God, meaning like he's waiting. He's everywhere. So you may say, well, why do I have to make any sound at all? Why doesn't he just help me? You see me struggling. I'm fighting. You see me taking blows. You see me going through all this heartache and emotion. Why don't you just help me? Just automatically. If you know more than I do, God, if you, why don't you just do this for me? Right? I have an answer. God gives us free will. That means we're allowed to do what we want to do. We can listen to God or not. We can cry out to God or not. You know, all of this is our choice, right? And in the middle of this free will is us learning lessons, okay? So there are lessons that I've learned where I knew the answer off the rip. 23, that's always the answer. 23. And then there's lessons where I have to say, okay, hold on, just use my fingers and tap on my toes. 21, 22, 23. Answer 23. It may take me a minute to get there. So if God jumped up and answered everything for me, I probably would not learn how to count past 5 or 10 because I don't have to. God will do it, right? If I never challenged myself in understanding that the power of prayer, the power of my God, the power of the victory, all of that, if I never put myself in those vulnerable positions, I would never get the victory at all. And there's lessons even in the crying out. So, you know, don't, you know, I say this for my proud people that don't want to reach out. You know, no, I can fight it by myself. You know, I can do this on my own. I don't have to ask for help. And all those people, yeah, the proud people, there's a lesson even in being proud. There's a lesson in being stubborn. There's a lesson, and you know the difference between trying and being stubborn. You know the difference. Everyone knows the difference, right? You know when you are being difficult or hard-headed or the pity parties. Ooh, no pity party. Don't do that. You know when you are acting like that, and then you know the times when you are genuinely like, no, this is not a pity party. I am really trying to make this happen. I really want to achieve this. I believe I can make this happen, right? So we all know when we are trying to manipulate God. That's funny. That's hilarious. I tell you not to try to manipulate the devil. Definitely don't try to manipulate God. I tell you that the devil has been, it is ancient and has been here before the beginning. It has been here forever. It's so much older and unfortunately cunning and smart, charming, all this stuff. He is supposed to be one of the most beautiful angels that God had, okay? So if we don't want to play with him, we definitely don't want to play with the maker, right? So don't try to be coy with God. Be honest. Be honest first with yourself. Be honest second, you know, with God. First with yourself. Do I really need the help? Have I gotten to my point? Have I gotten to the point where I am just exhausting myself, my efforts, my resources, my whatever? Am I beyond me? I have been there, family. It's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. I've been there in so many different aspects. This housing crisis is beyond me. Oh, it's making me ill, okay? I got people that need to be places and get here and get there, and the United States just wants to have a crisis. You know, I try to be patient with the whole country going through it, but my angels are going through it. Nah, I can't have that, you know? So, you know, there are times when you have to really know, okay, this is beyond me. How do I make this work? How do I reach out to God? And how do I reach out to God? All right, so let's talk about that. And it's, Mama said, I'm always going to be honest with you, right? Right when we get to this point, this is when people get disrespectful. I have to say it. This is when people get disrespectful. This is when I hear the tone change. And, oh, so I'm supposed to reach out to God. And this magical being, I'm like, easy now, easy. Where the air come all up out your lungs, easy. So the first thing I would suggest after we, one, realize that we're kind of in over our heads. I need some help. You know, this is why when we do our fast, we have fast buddies. We have a lifeline already connected to our fast. I need some help. Hold my hand, you know. A lot of times, I know when I was last fast, I was inside, and I'm doing a radio program outside of the jail, then going into the jail and doing a full day's work, and then coming out. Boy, I spent. And so I'm trying to be as pleasant as possible. And I remember one of the young men that was doing the fast as well, just because we're doing the fast. He wanted to do the fast because he wanted to know what all this praying stuff was about. And I remember one day he came and he's waving me down. Hey, I got to talk to you. I'm like, yes, what do you mean? Yes. He's like, I'm hungry. And when I say I busted laughing, it was the funniest thing. I'm like, we all hungry fools. I said, okay, keep hope alive. If you're hungry, that means you're on the right track. That means you are at least fasting and you're trying to get your mind right. Good job. Good job. But it was so funny. During this time, right here, when we're getting overwhelmed by the universe, when we're getting overwhelmed by situations and finances and this, that, and the other, our tone can get a little on the disrespectful side, okay? This is when we have to really, really, really keep our focus on God. Stay, keep your tone respectful. You know, don't go to God, even though if you may have something on your heart that's holding you down or got you negative or got you in a grumpy mood. I don't care. When you're going to God, go to God fully, okay? Go with good intentions. And I know it may sound crazy to have to remind people about this, but you do. And that's because the life, this life will have you caught up. This life will have you upset. Okay? I have neighbors and they have a dog and it drives me crazy. It's barking all the blessed time. And it only seems to really want to bark when I'm trying to take a 10-minute power nap, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so I can get frustrated with this dog, really. But this is the same dog that barks when someone's on my property. This is the same dog that lets everybody know, you know, there's something going on in the midnight hour when we're asleep. We're resting peacefully. This dog is on duty and barking and alerting us that there's something wrong, you know. So sometimes we get so arrogant in our thinking, arrogant in our ways, that we'll sit back and we'll be mad at the very thing that's helping us. How is that? We'll get mad at, you know, usually, and I don't know why, but when people get upset, get mad, they want to take it out on who? The first thing, the easiest thing they can, spouses, the children, dog, whatever, they want to take it out on the very things, the people, the places, the things that be helping them. That's when they want to get mad. I don't understand it. So if you have a relationship with God, there's probably a possibility that there's been a time when you've been overwhelmed, upset, mad even, at God. One thing about God, God is tough. They say tough as nails. He created the nails. Way tougher than that. He's tough. If you have questions, he can answer you. You can wrestle. He let Jacob wrestle with him. And they say Jacob wrestled with his big toe. God will allow you to come, to cry, to give all of to him. He's strong enough to handle that. But let's not be disrespectful. Let's remember that God is God, and he helps us with... He helps us breathe when we go to sleep. Basics. So if there's 365 days a year that he's keeping us alive by breathing, do you think maybe we could be respectful? Just maybe. God, not only, you know, we use our body. Do you know that your body is naturally healing itself? Your body is constantly trying to correct itself. You know, they say, so if you're a smoker and smoke cigarettes, and an hour after you stop smoking, your body is already starting the repair work. So they have a schedule. 2 hours after quit smoke, after your last cigarette, your taste buds are starting to repair themselves. 4 hours after, your skin is doing this. Every hour, every minute of the day, your body is trying to repair itself. That's God. That's not because you wash with a special soap. That's God. God is working on our bodies, working on our minds, working on our spirits constantly. Do you think you can be respectful? Ask your question. Just be respectful, okay? When you go to God, God, it's me. I always say, God is me, first child of Khadija, my mother's name. And the reason why I go like this, and there's lots of ways to announce yourself to God, first child of Sharif Abdullah, Omo, oh yeah. I have a whole long list of who I am when I introduce myself to God, okay? I do this to remind myself I am a child. I will always be a child when it comes to God. I will always come humbly because I've never seen anyone come arrogantly in me, okay? And I know some things, and I've seen some people. They never won. They have never won, okay? So when you come before God, come humbly. Come with your lineage. This is why we learn our ancestral names. This is why we know them. So we can come with all of them. Granddaughter. I usually go through mother of, you know, daughter of, granddaughter of, great niece of, and I go through all my female ancestry. And then I'll go through my paternal side, you know, daughter of father's name, father's name. You know, and I go that far. I go through all of my family life. Let God know exactly how I got here, okay? This is who I am. This is my lineage. This is where I come from, okay? So as I'm going through all this, as I'm announcing who I am, you know, you better remember, it helps me, like I said. I say this for God, but I say this for myself because I'm trying to remind myself because I know if my grandmother ever heard me say something flip in the name of God, oh, we got to have a whole nother problem here. So as I'm going through and I'm announcing myself to God, who already knows me, and he knows me because he created me, but as I'm announcing myself and I'm reaching out, I'm very clear about where I am and what I'm doing and what I need, okay? Now, I say what I need. I take that with a grain of salt, what I think I need, right? And it is what I think I need because you may be on the side of a road thinking that what you need is, you know, some fix-a-flat. But really, you may have a whole other problem. You know what I'm saying? You might need that phone to stay charged while you call AAA or whatever. You might need that family of raccoon to keep moving on its way and not come over here and bothering you while you're trying to get this done. You know, there's all kind of things that you probably need at that very moment as you're having this episode, right? But that's not no need to be disrespectful to God. Come humbly, all right? Today with work, I had a better understanding. I knew what a joyful noise was. You know, I always associate joyful noise with children laughing and everything else like that. But how pleased do you think God would be to hear his most hard-headedness, is that a word? The hard-headed children making prayer. Now, the good children, they're supposed to make prayer. He's used to them making prayer. They always talking to him. The good children are always conferring with him. Hey, God, I'm here, and I think this. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Good children stay so close to God, they be like, uh-huh, God, yeah, I'm right here, right? But how pleased do you think God was to hear these wayward children come to him looking for hope, looking for peace, looking for anything, everything? How wonderful do you think God felt on that? I can tell you very wonderful. There aren't any extra people. God looks out for all of us. God wants all of us to be well. And today, what I experienced was God's children calling on him. And it's something that we all do. Every time we make a prayer, we do it. But there are times, you know, that the message for this evening, and it's very, very clear, there are times when things get desperate that you know that you need to know that you can go to God. Go to God first. Okay? That if I had to sum it up, the message for today, because sometimes it's a lesson, sometimes it's a message. There's a definite message in this. You can go to God at any time. You can go with your emergency, and God will show up for you. You can go to God and just plead with him. Plead your case. State your case. Whatever word you want to use. But don't allow anger to settle in. Do not allow bitterness to settle in. Do not allow negativity, jealousy, and envy. Don't let, and this is kind of strange, okay? Don't let negativity taint your prayer. And hopefully, y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but some of you do, okay? Don't let negativity taint your prayer. Your prayer becomes tainted when you are asking God to do things that you know God does not do. When you're asking God to hurt someone, God's not going to do that. With that someone you talking about hurting is also his child. Okay? So let's think about this. If you have siblings, if you have a brother or a sister, and you go to your mom and you say, oh, they pulled my hair. Well, they pulled my hair. Your mom, you might get in trouble. I know in my household, we both got in trouble, go tattletale and stuff like that. You know, that other sibling might even get, reprimanded, might even get a beating or whatever. But you can't go to God asking God for things that are kind of out of your jurisdiction. That's not your job. Stay in your lane. We don't ask God to punish people. You know, sometimes I'm laughing because Spirit is showing me all these movies here. But so if you are in a situation, you know, and someone is being unfair to you, you know, you're at work, your boss is being unfair to you, you don't have to pray your boss trip down some steps. That's a tainted prayer, okay? You don't have to go there. You can pray for peace and harmony in your day. You don't have to say nothing about no boss. You don't have to say nothing about your request, none of that. I just pray for a peaceful day. I was so irritated yesterday. I was so irritated. I almost didn't make it into work today because I was like, oh, no, this is not going to work. And so I did my prayers as usual. I did my breathing. I'm expanding myself. I'm learning more. I'm building my repertoire. Spirit is really, really working with me. I'm so excited about the upcoming retreats, workshops, all of that, because Spirit is really taking it to the next level. So I'm working. I'm busy. I'm applying myself. I'm applying my spirit. I'm really putting in everything I got, everything I got. And sure enough, this morning, when I thought I was going to have this confrontation, it so was not there. It was not there at all. And I was like, wow. And half a day went by, and I was like, wait a minute. no little cutesy remarks, no nothing. And I was like, look at God. Look at God. Once I gave it up, once I had decided I wasn't going to be, I was not going to join into the negativity, it solved itself. So God is always there, always listening. There's just times that we have to get into the habit of crying out to him, okay? There's times when we need his help, and we need to say it. Don't ever be too, I don't want to say too big for God, but, you know, I don't know the correct word to use, but don't ever get to the point where you feel like you can't go to God, or God is too big, or that the problem is too small. None of those are true. None of those are true. Think about your parent, okay? Whether you liked your parent or not, whether you thought they were a good parent, whether they could have done better. Think about your parent, okay? How well does your parent know you? You know, right now, if I were to call my parent and be like, hey, either one, hey, how you doing? They would immediately say, well, what's wrong? Well, I didn't say anything was wrong. And they're like, well, you don't have to say it. I know you. So what's wrong? Let's talk about it. Let's deal. So that's God in us. When we reach out, when we cry out, when we put our demands in the universe, when we let God know how much we need him, when we do all that, God's like, I got you. I hear you. I'm here for you. I can tell you there have been times, God did not answer my prayer the way I wanted him to. And I'm praying. God did not pay me that lick of mine. And I'm like, God, I thought you said that you love me. I thought you were going to watch out for me. I thought you were going to do all this. And you just flat ignoring me. God still ignored me. I still ain't paying you no mind. So I don't know what to do. I'm getting upset. Turn the corner. I'm like, oh, that's why. That's why you couldn't give it to me, because the thing I was wanting for and crying for and begging for was bad for me. Okay, that's toxic. All right. And then I had to go back to God and say, thank you, God, for not getting me what I just knew I wanted. I just knew I needed it. I thank you, God. Thank you for holding out. Thank you for not getting frustrated with me as I'm up here making silly decisions and silly plans. Thank you for not getting frustrated with me. And in return, then I have to go and I have to have a little bit more patience and understand, even if I thought I just had this in the bag, even if I had dreams about it, you know what I'm saying? Even if it was right there, so close, I just knew if I reached my hand out and touched it, I could have it. And it, we have to learn to mature ourselves, you know, and really understand that God has our best interest in heart. So while you're reaching out, don't get frustrated. You know, you're making these prayers, God, I need this job. God, I need this house. God, I need this relationship. Whatever you're thinking you need, reach out to God. Make the prayer, but do it respectfully. And also do it knowing that that may not be the best thing for you. See, I don't have to worry about, it's not that I don't have to. I choose not to worry about what is not here, not in my life. Because I know if God didn't put it in my life, it wasn't time for it. And when you trust God, you don't have to question his motives and his actions. So what do I do? I continue making my prayer. I continue praying and moving in peace and harmony. I let God work out how. I pray for the peace and the harmony. I don't care how it happens. I don't care what he does. I just want the peace and the harmony part, right? How many people can really go and say that? You know, I want this. I don't care how. That's why I'm giving it to God. So God is going to decide how. God is going to make up the plans as to how this blessing is going to come to me. I had, I was speaking to my mother, and I was telling her, I said, okay, I got this going on, this going on, this going on. And she's like, how's all that going to happen? I said, I don't know. And she was like, no, you don't. I bet you don't. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to happen. I just know that I'm going to put all my energy and all my eggs into making it happen. And then everything else works itself out from there. So I don't worry about the how, because I have full confidence in God. I have full confidence in every positive being that God has placed in my life. You know, people don't want to be vulnerable. They're like, oh, no, I want to try to stay in control. Control is an illusion. Give that up to God. Give up the idea that you can't. Give up the idea that you have to attempt to control this or that. When you say, God, it's me, important point that the Spirit just made. So when you say, God, it's me, I need you to understand that's a familiar sentence. Familiar, like I've done it before. And might as well say, it's me again. You know what I'm saying? God, it's me. For you to be able to say, God, it's me, that means God has got to know you in the first place, right? Maintain a healthy relationship with God. And you may say, okay, what's a healthy relationship? Healthy relationship. Healthy. Healthy relationships are what? What do you want from people in order for it to be considered healthy? What do you need? For me, I need consistency. Don't come here today and be gone for months and weeks and years, and then you only come around when you need something. I'm the wrong person for that. And I'm sorry. I hope that wasn't one of the lessons I had to learn while I was here, because I'm not learning that. Don't call me when you need something. Call me beforehand. Call me, ask me how the weather's doing. Ask me how the boys are doing, how my mama doing, whatever. Don't just call with your hands out. I need. And a lot of times I feel our relationship with God, we've got to the point that we only call when we need something. And God is so much bigger than that. There's so much more to God than that. So let's get past the one-sided relationships with God. You know, he is bigger, he's better, he's deserving of more. Let's let that part go and really expound on what we can do, okay? So let's start building a healthy relationship. Healthy relationships, communication. Healthy relationships, honesty, consistency. God is, wow, we said an elder. Okay, God is the elder of all elders. He's the king of all kings. He's the highest respect that we can have, right? That's God. So let's get a little bit more respect in our tone. Let's go ahead and work on developing a regular routine of reaching out. You know, I've heard this every time I think I'm finished. I've been trying to wrap up this show for about 30 minutes now. But Spirit has really been talking about feelings people have about reaching out to God. And this is, women might feel like this as well, but this is really a masculine thing. Some people feel No, it says men and women. All right. Some people feel shame for reaching out. They feel shame that, you know, I've made mistakes and I don't know if I should even reach out to God or if God will take my phone call. I don't even know if God will take my phone call because I've made mistakes. You know, I can tell you we've all made mistakes. And I can't say that one is better or worse than the other because we are not the judge of the mistake. God is. So if someone always says, oh, well, this is a bigger sin, I don't know if there's a bigger to the sin. You know what I'm saying? There's just you're supposed to, and then there's you're not supposed to. And we need to try to stay away from the not supposed to. And when we do make mistakes, because we do, we really do, pray about them. Learn from them so you're not continuously making this mistake. Right? So we have to get to the point where we are, we don't have shame in dealing with God. God, whatever you think that you can't go to God with, whatever you think is too heinous, too this, too that, God already knows what happened. God knows in your heart while it was happening. Staying away from God, even if you had done something and it pushed you away from God, staying away from God is not healthy. Come in, come back in to where you can get the love from God, the forgiveness, the agape, all of that. Come back into where God is so that you don't have to worry about feeling like you're on the outside of God's love and protection. Never feel afraid or ashamed or anything else when it comes to God's love for you. You can go to God at any time, you know, and seek forgiveness, seek love, seek understanding. Whatever you need to seek, God has it for you, okay? So that's number, you know, don't try not to internalize that. Don't let other people and their idea and interpretation of God keep you away from God, please. All right, so also, when you're going to God, we're crying out to God, don't let shame stop you, guilt stop you. All of those things are working against you. And anything that keeps you away from God is the devil, okay? You may actually have to fight part of your own self. How crazy is that? You may actually have to fight parts of you from interfering with your relationship with God, okay? So if you know that you are doing something that you shouldn't, and you stay out of your accountability group, your church, temple, your organization, your whatever, you stay away from them because you know you're doing something that you shouldn't, you have to rectify that. Go to God. Give it to God. Get back with your spiritual group. Your spiritual group is the only, is part of the help and protection that you need so that you can learn and do better in the future. This is part of the reaching out to God. God didn't just send you here to be by yourself. So reaching out to God is putting in that plead, is asking, begging for his help, is letting God know where you are. And this happens in emergencies. It happens in good times. It happens in bad times. It is always going, okay? I have personally had experiences where I remember this one time driving down the highway, driving down 75. You know, I do a lot of traveling, and in my travels in the car, it always seems to be like these epiphanies occurring. And driving down the highway, and it looked like there was like one single little beam of light. And, you know, I had been just praying, pouring out, praying, chanting, just really, really being in. I swear, I felt that ray of sun just touch me. You know, it was an experience. And it felt like God was just smiling at me, you know, just to feel God's approval. I mean, I had just had a major victory. Spirit was walking ahead of me, putting things in place. So, and I was showing up, and things were already handled for me. And I was thankful and grateful, and all the fools. I was fools of the fools, okay? And at that moment of just expressing my appreciation for all those working with me, that light, it just felt like it was only for me. And it looked like it was only for me because everything else was kind of gloomy around me. And it was this one little ray of light that shined in my car, touching my spirit. And I just felt God's approval. This is the first time, and this happened in Liberty, maybe 6 years ago. God's approval is, of course, what we're all working for. Everybody wants God's approval. Everybody wants to know that they're doing the right thing in the name of God. Everyone wants to make sure they're on the right track, right? And so to be getting this live, to be getting not in dream time, not in meditation, driving down the highway, to have this overwhelming understanding of, yes, you're on the right track. Yes, you're doing it the way I want you to do it. And yes, I'm proud of the way that you're handling that. To get that right there, I was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed with tears. I mean, to add to the joy, I was a holy mess riding down the highway, okay? I really, really was. And it was such a beautiful experience because I needed that at that moment. You know, I needed that confirmation that I was going to be okay, that the situation was going to be okay, that I was doing it correctly. And to get it at that very moment meant everything to me. And when I say it fueled me for about 2 years, I was like, I really have had this up-close personal feeling. And so it reminded me, and I remember very clearly when it happened, it reminded me about Job. And it made me to think about how Job must have felt when the trials and the tests were over. He didn't know when the tests were going to be over. He was enduring hardships beyond any, you know, hardships out there. He was going through it without a calendar. See, when we go through our devotions, we don't have to give up, you know, spouses, children. We don't have to give up, you know, jobs. And we don't have to give all that up. You know, we're making a fast. And, you know, when we put it in perspective of some other things, it really can be considered a small fast, you know. It's a nice fast. And but that moment reminded me of the moment when Job's trials were over. When God finally said, for your loyalty, for your love, for your everything, I'm going to bless you with twice of everything that you've lost. And I'm sure Job was like, okay, good, thank you. Need the house, need the children, need the wives, need this, need these. I'm sure Job felt like that. But more importantly than all of the material possessions that he got back, more importantly than even the family, the kids, or whatever, is to have God's approval on you, to know that God approved of your actions. That is a very humbling experience because, you know, we hope that God is pleased with us. You know, when we make prayer, we offer prayer. We don't know if God's going to take our prayer or not. We hope he does. So we're offering prayer. You know, when we make sacrifice, we hope that it's a blood sacrifice. We hope that everything that we do in the name of God is well received, you know. So can you imagine at that very moment knowing that all of the work, the sacrifice that he endured for years, this is not a 30-day trial. This was not a mother's study. This was years. And these weren't fruits and vegetables, okay? He was giving up, you know, a whole family. But to get that answer that you're on the right path, to get that answer you are doing the right thing, it was so beautiful and so humbling that it's one of those things that when I think about my relationship with God, when I think about me saying, God, it's me, that's one of the things I think about because that was one of those times where God was letting me know, I'm right here for you. I'm right here. You don't have to worry. You don't have to push. You don't have to cry anymore. I'm right here. And so if you've ever had that experience, treasure it. If you haven't had that experience, let me tell you, God ain't never far. Okay? God is never far. He is always right there waiting for us. Waiting for us. And to get to him and to share with him and to is as simple as making that commitment within yourself that this is what I want to do. I want to live a spiritual lifestyle. I want to live a religious lifestyle. I don't care what it is. If it's taking me closer to God, it's doing the job, okay? So I hope that whoever this nice, beautiful program was for heard it. I know I heard and felt what I needed to hear and felt. Give me, you know, just further confirmation that, you know, hey, we are on the right path. Giving me further confirmation of it's okay to reach out for God. Not just, you know, in our regular, sometimes our prayers, you know, we make prayers every morning, make prayers every evening. Sometimes our prayers can almost turn routine, right? I'm not talking about those prayers. Those prayers, let's keep them up. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep going. I'm talking about those prayers, though, that we do every night, every other night, every blue moon, whenever we need it. Those. So I'm so glad we had the opportunity to spend this time, okay? I want to, of course, go into prayer. Prayer is one of the biggest, easiest components that we have in order for us to get under that umbrella of God, okay? We want to be under the umbrella of God. We want to be close enough to, you know, what does the umbrella do? The umbrella is it's a protective covering. That's what it is. And if you're under the umbrella, you should be protected from the elements on the outside of the umbrella. So they have umbrellas for sun, They have umbrellas for rain. You know, they have all kinds of protective covering. And so, you know, whenever I think about God, I think about, you know, that big umbrella, you know, and I want to make sure to get myself under the umbrella, all right? So if you have an umbrella and it's raining real good and the umbrella is only covering your head, you're still going to get wet, right? But if you can move to the center of the umbrella, like God is the center, don't be hanging out on the edge, going all the way in, okay? Make the commitment to have God in your life, and not just in your life, in the center of your life. Go all the way in. When you're standing in the middle of the umbrella, in the middle of your covering, and you are covered, then you're in such a better position. You're not worried about getting wet still. Okay? So let's all stay closer to our protective covering, which is God. Let's all stay closer to our, when we need the help, knowing when and how to reach out. Prayer, meditation, fasting, our fast buddies, you know what I'm saying? Drop a lifeline. For me, one of my secret helpers is Richard Pryor. Oh, I love Richard Pryor. Y'all, I know y'all get sick of me talking about. He is so funny with his horrible mouth. And sometimes I just listen to laugh at something silly. George Carlin, absolutely adore. There's so many great, funny people that I listen to. And knowing that I'm trying to change, bring myself out of possibly a funk or whatever. Okay? And then, so we have some tools here. Y'all, you know, everyone knows I spend my time with my depths. I spend my time with, I spend my time with a beautiful baby this weekend. Oh, that baby just, when I say I was so good, I just knew everything was going to be all right. And as I'm looking at this little one, he's looking at me, I'm like, this is the life right here. That kind of stuff right there, those are blessings. There ain't no stronger evidence of God than looking at a baby. So as I'm having all this, you know, beautiful deep thoughts in my head, as I'm tickling toes, and I'm like, man, God is good. How beautiful and healthy is this baby? So all of that, let's get back to God. Don't be afraid to call him. Don't be ashamed to call him. Don't be confused. If you can, if you have the authority to call God, you have the authority to call your parents. Now, guess what? Should you call your mom while she's at work? Probably not. Should you wait till she gets home when she has more time to spend with you? Yeah, that would be better. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter, though. If you're going through an emergency, what are you supposed to do? Call your mom. Well, then go and do it. Go and do it. Why? Those types of things don't change. What they say, what, as below, so above, as above, so below. Everything we do and that we do naturally has a spiritual implication to it. Spirit has taught us these things. So when that baby is crying for its mother, that's what we're supposed to do when we have needs that are not being readily met. Since when did we add, you know, shame to that? You know, why do we always have to make it, you know, a negative thing or no. It's not hard. Definitely more beneficial when you already have that relationship with God, when you already know what God is expecting from you. How about when God kind of knows your heart? You know, Share a little bit of yourself with God. Allow him to get to know who you are and who you would like to be. Because if there's any being that can make that happen, God can make it happen. See, I share and I talk to God because I know I need God. I need his help to achieve even some of the smallest things, things that most people would think are minor. No, I need help. I need God to guide me. He can send an angel or Orisha. He can send whoever he wants. I still need the help. So I'm going to reach out to God, and I'm going to ask him to help me. I'm going to ask him for his will to be done. I'm going to ask for clarity so that I can understand his will, so I can see his will clearly. I'm going to ask for discernment so that I can discern what I need to be doing first and do second. I'm going to ask for the strength to complete the task that God has ahead of me. I'm going to ask for the tolerance to deal with some of the challenges that come along with those tasks that I have ahead of me. I'm going to, ask for God to create love and loving in my life, because I know that hate only breeds more hate. In order to conquer hate, you have to use love. So much hate and craziness and negativity that I see in this world right now, I know that the answer is God, and the answer is love, and the answer is, us doing the things we have to do to be the leaders that we know we are, right? So I got to move into the prayer portion, even though I feel like this whole program has been a prayer, and it has from my heart. I have been asking God the entire program to watch over us. I have been asking God this entire program to make sure that judge our hearts, not those mouths, understand our mouths. We're still working on it, God. Some of us have gotten a little far off of precise language. So please continue to work with us, okay? This whole program, I have been feeling the energy of spirit flowing through, really trying to get us ready for what's coming up. So what's coming up, if you look at it with your eyeballs, is very intimidating, is overwhelming. We have a situation. But if you continue to put the positive work in, don't worry about all this drama. Don't worry about how they did you wrong. Don't worry about the one that took your money. Don't worry about, the chick that said she ain't coming back. Whatever. Don't worry about none of that. What we have to worry about is getting closer in our relationship with God. We have to work on this new leadership role that God wants us, little old us, okay? The new relationship that God wants us to work on with our friends and family, with the ones that are coming in. Everyone last year, okay, so the first year that we did devotion, I think everyone had two people to work with, two fast buddies. Last year, I had people with three fast buddies. You know, and that your fast buddy, that's almost like your sponsor. You know, your fast buddy who has been there. They know a thing or two about fasting. They're very, you know, they know what they're doing, right? Last year we had 3 people with our fast, but that's how many people were there ready to learn new things. And I'm thankful to God for it. I'm thankful to God that I don't have to answer every single phone call because I can't. And I'm thankful to God that he has the people calling just knowing that they're going to get some good love and positive energy, okay? All right, well, look, got to make prayer, okay? You got to make sure with all the positive things said, we still have to stop what we're doing and recognize God for all that he all that he is, all that he does. And we are thankful for it. Father, Mother, God, we come before you humbly, full of joy, full of excitement, full of all the good, positive things that we know are going to happen. We are harmonizing ourselves to your will, God. We are creating an understanding that our good, positive energy mixed with your good, positive energy is going to help to create a new understanding in the world. God, as part of the world is preparing for war, preparing for death, preparing for ultimate forms of negativity, we ask that you keep everyone protected, God. If we can find another way around war, if we can find any avenues for peace, let them be explored, God. Please help us not have these massive losses of life. God, we've had animals falling from the sky, mass birds falling from the sky. We've had so many hardships that this current understanding is going through. God, we trust that you are going to guide us in the way that needs to be done. We're going to ask and pray that our fellow brothers and sisters be safe on their journey in this life, natural disasters down to their very own negative thoughts. God, I'm going to ask that you create healing of the planet, healing of our bodies, healing of our minds. Allow us to begin to move in a more natural sense, a better understanding of this world. God, I ask that you create tolerance for one another, peace for one another, understanding that only love can out-love hate. God, I know your power. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I have felt it. I feel blessed to be a part of it. Allow those still in the dark to come into the light. Allow their hearts to be unburdened by the craziness of the world and allow them to move into a peaceful, harmonious relationship with you. God, I want to thank all the guardian angels that you have watching over our very footsteps. God, thank you so much for having these positive angels around us so that we can not get tripped up in the little things and we can focus on praising you and giving you the glory. God, we want to thank you for the health and safety of these beautiful children, knowing that they are truly your evidence. They are beautiful. They are blessings. Help us to be patient with them. Help us to teach them about you. Help us to make sure this world does not gobble them, but that they are protected in the herd, protected in the center, knowing that they will be good stewards of your name. They will earn everything that they need. I ask these things in your name. Amen.